Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Can you believe that it's November?
I was going to say the same thing. What month do you feel like it is?
What year do you feel like it is?
2018. I'm stuck there.
I heard something the other day that the person felt like they had lived three lifetimes since 2018 or 2019. Mm-hmm. And I felt that.
Yeah.
And our listeners probably feel that as mm-hmm. well. So Taylor and I are here in the living room, and we are thinking about the past 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that 7 episodes of the Mended Futures podcast are already out?
Crazy. I can't believe we've gotten 7 guests, let alone put out 7 episodes.
Right. So we want to recap, you know, in Thanksgiving, in the spirit of gratitude, the stories that have already been shared in this living room atmosphere. I was looking forward to this process, and I was looking forward to the potential. Mm-hmm. And now that we're able to look back on the first 7 episodes, I am in awe of what everyday people are doing.
Yeah. I am particularly grateful for the level to which people are willing to share. Because, like, it might seem hypocritical, but if I was on that couch, like, I don't know if I would be comfortable going into the detail that they've gone into. But, like, people have been willing to get emotional with us. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's just been a very, very special experience.
And I hope that you all who are following have been able to feel some of the feels. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of do the recap.
Yeah.
We've got...
Well, the pilot was you and me.
Yes.
Just kind of explaining what this podcast is. So if you guys have, you know, listened to other episodes, but you haven't listened to that, if you want kind of a baseline, like this is the mission statement of the Mended Futures podcast, go watch that.
And who are we and why does Allison always talk about the river? That would be a good thing, because I'm constantly talking about going back to the river and I'm constantly talking to you about whether or not you are a mended future or you are mending futures. Taylor's coming from the lens of
518. Yep, because Mended Futures is, you know, part of 518's branding now, but it's so much bigger than just our organization, which is why we wanted to bring the Vision 30 and community-based part of it. Yeah, so we have the pilot episode, then we had Tori Garris.
And Torby. So if you haven't listened to that one or watched that one, go back and catch it, because I think as far as the river is concerned, Tori is working really far upstream with our youngest members of the community and hopefully their parents, their grown-ups. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't checked that out, or if you haven't checked out Torby, check that out on YouTube.
Totally.
So then we had
Veronica. Superstar that she is.
And Veronica and her ex-husband are co-parenting their grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So that is a story of kinship care.
Yep.
And Veronica was very willing to share about interventions in their lives and also pieces about reconciliation.
Yep. She is in the process of wanting and trying to reconcile and not quite knowing how it's going to turn out. And I think it was really valuable to be able to have her story of she's in the thick of it. You know, there's
and
not
the uncertainty of mending futures.
Yep, absolutely. So we highly recommend her episode. Then we had Brian, right?
Oh,
I love Brian.
Brian Moss, who is an employee of 518. Mm-hmm. And Brian is well known in this community. And I think through Brian's episode and a lot of these episodes so far, we realize that everyday people are wearing so many hats.
Yeah.
And it was really powerful to talk with Brian about how many ways he's mending futures.
Mm-hmm. I think with Brian's, what stuck out to me, and this kind of goes back to something that we were talking about, a training that Allison and I were at yesterday, that when you are shepherding people, in Brian's case, when you bring foster children into your home, you can't necessarily protect yourself from being hurt by them. You can only prepare yourself. And he is so willing to step into the space and make himself vulnerable to loving these kids and not getting anything in return.
And I think that's a common theme. We definitely heard that in Veronica and Brian, that you try to protect your sheep.
Yeah.
But it's really hard as a shepherd to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. And really you just prepare yourself. Mm-hmm. So that was a powerful tie-in.
Yeah.
So after Brian, we talked to
Chris Beach.
Chris, and mm-hmm. that was our virtual episode. And Chris is from the Fatherhood Foundation. Mm-hmm. And that's really a preventative upstream approach mm-hmm. to making sure that expectant fathers are getting the preparation mm-hmm. they need. And because parenting is definitely shepherding. Mm-hmm. And there are also some interventions yeah. there as well.
I was encouraged by it might sound stupid, but I was encouraged by how passionate and so involved and into it Chris was as the CEO.
Yes. And how many resources there are out there that if you think I'm not equipped or I'm not whatever, mm-hmm. don't worry. If you're passionate about being a dad or you think being a dad is important, then they have the resources. Yep. They're going to come alongside you.
Absolutely. And we had James Hobson.
Yes.
Local legend.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it is really timely because James is a part of a community-wide unity revival this week. So I am grateful for what community leaders are doing here to heal the divide. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it's any secret. We're post-election, we are post-pandemic, mm-hmm. and we are a divided people right now. Mm-hmm. So I love that there are folks who are focusing on healing and unity.
Yep. And recognizing that there's no room for competition between churches, because if someone knows Jesus, that is a win. The right. win shouldn't be who's in my congregation versus who's in yours.
Right. And I, thinking back to the training just yesterday about shepherding, each person, everyday person, has a different way of shepherding. Mm. And so James talks about he feels like it is his duty to push the people out of the nest, mm-hmm. to push the baby birds out of the nest. And some people feel like it is shepherding to give them all their provisions. And he feels like it's shepherding to give them a little nudge. Mm-hmm.
Because he himself is willing to catch be pushed.
You. Yes.
And catch. Yeah. Yes. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life is messy, and sometimes people just need someone safe to talk to. We're here to listen, because everyone's story should be heard. 518 Counseling exists to empower children, adults, and families to overcome past experiences and create a path to being stronger both mentally and spiritually. Family is a nuanced concept. 518's family care team brings simple solutions to complex situations through professional intervention, interpersonal support, and parenting education. We strive for an outcome of mending families and keeping children safe. 518's Connect team equips and empowers volunteers with the training and support to serve confidently by matching their passions with opportunities. Our outreach is targeted to build partnerships with individuals, churches, agencies, and businesses. At Hat Creek Camp, we provide exceptional camp experiences with careful attention to the needs of youth, encouraging campers to grow through trust-based challenges and successes. It's a place to build relationships, inspire change, and transform lives.
Avery's episode. Ooh. Yeah.
Avery is a 518 employee, and he works in school-based counseling. And I think Avery's episode was
the hardest to hear.
The hardest to hear. And it was a mirror of what he's probably hearing from a lot of his clients. And it really made me realize why we have to go upstream and how important meaningful relationships are.
Mm-hmm.
And these folks are pouring out their hearts here in this setting. And I think they're doing it because they know that there are parts of their stories, parts of their testimonies that could save other people's lives.
Yeah, it really is.
That serious.
Yeah, it's that influential. And I think that's my favorite part of this podcast is that so many people who come in here before we start recording, they're like, I was honored that you asked. I don't know why you would ask me, you know? But I mean, that's exactly who we want. We want the people who don't even think about having any recognition for what they do or even people wanting to hear their stories because that's real, you know? That's what an audience will see themselves in.
And I had a really wise uncle who, when I was telling him something a decade ago, and I was really searching about whether or not I was going to be committed to something or whether I was going to jump out of the nest. Mm-hmm. And he said, if not you, then who?
Mm.
And so many of these stories, Avery, for example, is talking about what his teenage life was like. And he says, you know, get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Have a meaningful relationship with a local teen or, you know, just make a connection. And I keep thinking when people say, why am I here? Is my story big enough? If not you, then who?
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to ask yourself that.
I love that. Yeah.
And then last but not least, Mike Barron from the White Heart Cafe. So talking to a local business owner about the many hats that he's wearing in the community.
Mm-hmm. He is a passionate father.
Mm.
And I think that's what I was most touched by. We were maybe 5-10 minutes into the recording, and he shared with us a story about when he was moving his family from Texas to, they didn't even know where at the time. And he got emotional because he was taking, you know, his oldest son away from his community and his friends, and his son looks back at him and he's like, we're doing it together. Mm-hmm. Like,
you didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
So in some ways, the son recognized the calling or recognized that the parents were doing something that was bigger than anything they could, you know, they were following. They were being sheep and they weren't quite sure where they were being led. So we have really just had the privilege to listen to folks that we know on the surface level, but now I feel like we know.
Yeah. It's fun to see these people in the real world after the fact because like we're giving them hugs. We're like, there's just a connection there. And if nothing else, like I'm very, very thankful just to be able to spend some meaningful time with people at work. Like it's really, really a gift.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I am thankful for, I think you've said some things and we bring them up in multiple episodes. I'm always like, Taylor, say the thing. And then she tells you about how life is everything all at once. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like we are learning from and with.
Yep. Absolutely.
Everybody who's in this room. And I am really gratified and validated when one guest says something and then the next week the other person says something very similar.
Yep.
And they didn't know each other and they didn't know they were going to be guests.
Yes.
So I feel God working in this room.
Yep. We've been able to make multiple connections with guests, with each other, guests with other people in the community. Like, it's not just people sitting down for a meaningful conversation. Like, there is action happening afterward.
Oh.
And it's exciting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fun things that happened as a result of the first episode with Tori Garris, as she was talking, my wheel started turning about healthy relationships. And there is, we call him the relationship guru at 518, Adam Holcomb.
Mm-hmm.
And his heart is about healthy relationships. So we connected after the podcast episode with Tori, Adam, and I, and talked about how could we talk about healthy friendships? How could we talk about healthy relationships through a children's show? Mm-hmm. So
starting with toddlers, right. That's how upstream it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's how important it is. That's how urgent it is that we are talking to people of all ages about keeping kids safe and making family stronger. Mm-hmm. And communication is so important.
Absolutely. And to wrap up, we are extremely, extremely grateful for everyone who has watched and listened to the podcast. It's been encouraging to see the response. People have been very generous in sharing and I don't know, just supporting. So thank you very much.
Yes. And I will take it even further as an action step. If you haven't watched all along the way, go back and catch up on some episodes. I don't think there's an episode so far that's worth missing. You've got to go back and catch up. And you can listen in any certain order. It's not like you're going to miss a part of the story. Mm-hmm. Each one is a specific story of an everyday person making a big impact in our community. If you have ideas for people that we should have on the show, let us know.
Please.
And you've seen the virtual option. Of course, we love to have people in the room, mm-hmm. but there is a virtual option. So it doesn't even have to be someone that's local. Yep. And we're trying to, even though we talk about things that are local, we want it to be generalized in other communities.
Totally. Well, we hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Wait a minute.
Oh, my goodness. Am I ending too soon?
Maybe.
Okay.
I feel like I need to ask you
an
important question.
Yes.
What is the dish that you must eat at Thanksgiving or that it will not be Thanksgiving?
Green bean casserole.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a kind of an iconic choice because can you think of many times during the year that there's a green bean casserole option?
Sincerely, not one other time.
Not enough.
Than Thanksgiving. Not enough. And it's a perfect dish, in my opinion.
Ooh.
I love a green bean. I love a crispy onion on top. Mm-hmm. It's creamy. It's crunchy. It's everything.
Mm.
What about you?
Not turkey.
Are you a country ham girl? I think that stuff is lethal.
I can't do country. And then you wake up the next day and your hands are swollen.
Yeah.
No, I am more of a side dish sort of person, like the casseroles. And I just want to put it out there that turkeys are really laborious.
Mm.
And the person who's cooking the turkey in the family should get a lot of love.
Yeah.
A lot of gratitude.
Yeah.
Have you ever cooked one?
I have not, and I am terrified for the day that I do.
Okay, so when we turn the microphones off, I will tell you what you have to do.
Okay. I'll take notes.
Yeah. No. You just got to mentally prepare yourself.
Okay.
What you have to do before you cook a turkey.
And
I am in my mid-40s and I don't feel like I've reached the level of adulting that it takes to cook a turkey.
Yeah, when does someone feel like they've earned the turkey preparation?
Right. I've made it to macaroni and cheese level and I feel like that's really important. Mm-hmm. I make what I would say is like an award-winning macaroni and cheese if you'd like my recipe.
Prove it.
Yes. Oh. Okay, so if you'd like my recipe, I could share.
Yeah.
But as far as what has to be at the Thanksgiving, my mom's cousin makes a baked pineapple dish.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had that?
I've had things reminiscent of that. I don't know if it's the exact same.
But does that scream Thanksgiving?
I don't know.
No, it doesn't. So there are many unique things that different families mm-hmm. have to have. But for me, I'm just not at the turkey level yet.
Fair. That's fair.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now you can close the show. I feel like now that I've gotten that off of my chest.
Allison feels much better.
Yes.
She's no longer sweating. I'm just kidding.
For everyone out there in the community, do not ask me to cook the turkey.
And me neither, because I've never done it and I'll probably burn your house down. And on that note,
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for listening to the Mended Futures podcast, hosted by Allison Jordan and Taylor Melvin, produced by Liam Chafin, Sue England, Allison Jordan, Robert Day, Sully Jugar, and Taylor Melvin. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to like, share, and subscribe to see more.